Good evening. Welcome. It is a wonderful evening that we have tonight, the celebration of hope. And I want to say something to you tonight. First of all, it's a great opportunity to be with you. It's a great opportunity to have my father here tonight. He's sitting out there in the audience. I'm not going to tell you where, but he wanted to come and just participate and be a part of the part of you tonight. And I want you to know that, and listen to me, I want you to know that God loves each and every one of you here tonight. God loves you. I want to read a passage in Matthew. I turned 53, and I need these glasses now. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus said, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains." Many people have asked, was the hurricane God's judgment? And I think that's an honest question. I think many people have asked that question. I'm sure you have, wondering, is this God's judgment for our sin in our communities and in our region and in our lives? Is God judging us? People want to know, is this the beginning of the end of the world? You see, it's not just the hurricanes that have hit, but we look at all the other things that have taken place that Jesus warned in this passage. First of all, I don't believe the hurricane was God's judgment. But even though I know it, I believe it's an honest question. I tell you why. I've seen churches that are destroyed. I have seen homes totally destroyed. And when we first came down here, we started in Mobile because we couldn't go any farther. All the roads were blocked. We were here within about 12 hours after the storm came through, and the roads were blocked, the power lines were down, trees were across the road, and so we were in Mobile for a few days as the roads got open, and we began to work our way. We went to Gulfport and Biloxi. We're still in those areas, working in Kelne and all around Bay St. Louis, past Christian, Wayland, those areas. We've been working in homes, and we went to Groves in Texas after Rita went through there, and now we came back into this area working all throughout this, around the city, trying to help people that have lost absolutely, in most cases, everything. And I don't believe that this hurricane was God's judgment. And sometimes people are quick to blame God, but, you know, there's a devil. And, you know, the Bible says he's the liar. He's the one who wants to destroy. He wants not only to destroy the entire Gulf Coast, he wants to destroy each and every one of us, and he wants to destroy your life. That's right. He wants your soul. He wants your soul, and he wants it a prisoner in hell for eternity. That's right. And tonight, there's a battle that's taking place in this arena, and it's the battle for your soul. Are you ready to stand before a holy God? Are you ready? Are your sins forgiven? Are you sure? If you're not sure, you can be sure tonight. That's right. You see, Jesus Christ can change your life. He can give you a new life and a new beginning. You can set a new course for your life tonight, but you've got to be willing to trust God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this the end of the world? Is this God's judgment? These questions. And Jesus warned that we're not to be deceived, that there's going to be wars, there's going to be famines, there's going to be earthquakes, but this is the beginning of the birth pains. The last 80 years, there have been two world wars. We had the Cold War with some hundred smaller wars. The last 60 years, we saw the beginning of the atomic age. We now have weapons of mass destruction that can not only destroy this earth once, twice, but probably 100 times or more. Chemical weapons, biological weapons. And then there are pandemics that are looming, like the bird flu. They say once that transmits from birds to human, it could take the lives of millions and millions of people all across this country. Our life could come to an end in an instant. There's HIV/AIDS, 42 million people infected with HIV/AIDS, and there's no cure, absolutely no cure. The scientists don't even have a drug or anything on the drawing board. 42 million, and they predict that in the next 10 years, it could be as many as 100 million infections in the world, with absolutely no cure. There's Ebola, the mad cow disease. There are rogue states like North Korea, Iran, that are wanting nuclear weapons. We see Islamic terrorism, not just in this country, where on 9/11 over 3,000 Americans lost their lives. In New York and Washington, in a field in Pennsylvania. But we see the storms, the earthquakes in Pakistan, Turkey. Are we coming to the end of the age? And what can we do to be ready for the end of the age? There's a passage of scripture in Daniel that says, there will be a time of distress, such that has not happened from the beginning of nations until then, but at that time your people, whoever and everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. And my question to you tonight, is your name written in the book? You say, what book are you talking about? I'm talking about the book that's in heaven. There's a ledger in heaven. There's a book that has the name of every one of God's children written in it. Every person that has called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every righteous man and woman's name is written in that book. Is your name in that book? It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know Christ? Are your sins forgiven? Are you prepared to stand before Him? We're coming now, maybe down to the end of the age, what we read there in Matthew 24. Wars, famines, earthquakes, all of these disasters, and Jesus warns it's the beginning of the birth pains. Are you ready to stand before God? If your life came to a sudden end tonight, would God welcome you into His presence? Would He forgive you? Would He receive you? Now, the Bible says that we have all sinned, and we've all come short of God's glory. And you say, now, Franklin, what do you mean by sin? Well, sin is breaking God's law, and I'm here tonight to tell you that I am a sinner. I have sinned against God. I have broken God's laws. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death for each and every one of us. We are sinners and we're under the sentence of death. But you see, that's why God sent His Son. That's why God sent Jesus Christ out of heaven down to this earth. Take our sins. He died in our place. He went to the cross for you. He shed His blood on the cross for you, for your sins. He died on the cross. He was buried in the grave. And when He went to the grave, He took your sins and my sins to the grave. And the tomb was sealed with a Roman seal. Guards stood at the entrance. And Jesus took our sins to the grave. You know, Easter's coming. And on the third day, God said, it's enough. God said, it's finished. And on the third day, God raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the grave. He's alive, friends. He's not hanging on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He's here tonight. And let me tell you something. Christ can change your life tonight if you'll invite him in by faith. Tonight, he can set you free from sin. That's right. He'll take the guilt and the shame of your sin if you'll trust him tonight. And that's why I'm going to invite you in just a few moments to get up out of your seat and make your way to an aisle to come stand in front of this platform. And when we've come, I'm going to lead you in a prayer for you to confess your sins to God, to tell him you're sorry, to be willing to repent and turn from your sins and receive Christ by faith. You prepare to come. God had a plan. And that plan was to send his son. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not a work lest any man should boast. You see, you cannot work for your salvation. See, if you could work for it, you'd brag about it. Next time you're out there on the golf course, hitting one of them, you know, you'd be, let me tell you what I had to do to get my salvation. Let me tell you how much it cost me. It didn't cost you nothing. It cost the Son of God everything. He gave his life. All you have to do is believe it. Just believe it. Just to believe it tonight by faith. We deserve death. We deserve God's judgment, but he loves you. He didn't want you to die. He doesn't want you to be separated from him. He wants you to be with him in heaven. He wants you singing like this in front of the throne in heaven. Like you were here singing here tonight. God wants you to be with him. He wants you to sing praises with him in heaven. He loves you, and tonight God will forgive you. But you've got to come to God his way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14, 6. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You say, Franklin, that's quite a boast. That's right. It's the truth. It's not a boast. It's the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You see, no one in all of history has paid the debt of sin. Muhammad didn't die for your sins. Buddha didn't die for your sins. Krishna didn't die for your sins. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He's here tonight. Are you forgiven? Are you ready to stand before God? You can have that new life, that new beginning tonight. You prepare to come. The Bible says that God so loved the world. And that's what my father's going to preach on tomorrow night. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. You see, you've got a choice to make tonight. You can accept Christ or you can reject him. It's your choice. God's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on you. He loves you. He made you. He created you. He gave us this beautiful world in which we live. He wants us to enjoy it. But you see, sin has come into the world. Sin has infected the world. You say, Franklin, what do you mean by sin? Well, telling a lie is a sin. Have you ever lied? You say, oh, well, I just, you know, occasional little lies. No, there's no such thing as a little lie or big lie. A lie is a lie. And the Bible says liars aren't going to be in heaven. And you say, well, Franklin, how are we going to get there? Well, you can't get there on your own because you're a sinner. You see, stealing, taking something that doesn't belong to you. Have you ever stolen? Well, Franklin, I was at a little country store one time, and I picked up a pack of gum and put it in my pocket. Does that count? Yeah. You're guilty. You're a lawbreaker. You've sinned against God. Murder is sin. You say, well, now, Franklin, you know, I passed that test. Haven't murdered anybody. Abortion. That's murder. And I believe in an arena of this size, there are many here tonight. You're guilty of murder. But I want you to know tonight, God will forgive you. He'll forgive you and He'll cleanse you tonight. That's right. He'll forgive you. That shame that you've been carrying, that guilt that's been in your life. I remember a number of years ago, I was being interviewed by a lady. And as we were talking that night, I just said, can I ask you some questions? And she said, yes. I said, are your sins forgiven? She says, well, I don't know. I said, did you know God loves you? And she started getting nervous. I said, did you know that God sent His Son Jesus Christ to this earth for you? And we talked for a while, and as we talked, I just thought, I'm going to ask her, would you like to invite Christ to come into your heart and to forgive you of your sins? And she said, I would. I said, would you like to do it right now? She put down her pad of paper and a pen, and she said, I will. And that she prayed a prayer, a simple prayer, which she said, God, I have sinned against you, and I'm sorry. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I want Him to come into my heart, and I want to experience His cleansing and His forgiveness in my life. And I pray this right now in Jesus' name. And I led her through that prayer. And after the prayer, she said, I have something I want to say to you. She said, I have to confess something to you. And I thought, you don't need to confess anything to me. God has forgiven you. And she said, no. She said, I have to say this. Listen to me. She said, 20 years ago, I had an abortion. And it has haunted me all of my life. There's not a day that I wake up that I don't wonder what that baby would have been. Every birthday, I think about that child, what it would have been. Will God forgive me for what I did? I said, He just did. He forgave you. He's cleansed you. Big tears came down her face as she wept with tears of joy, experiencing God's forgiveness in her life. And let me tell you something, friends, tonight, God will forgive you. And you say, but Franklin, you don't understand the meanness in my life. You don't understand the filth in my life. You don't understand the trash in my life. You don't understand what I've done to people, to my family, to those that I love, that how I have betrayed them. How can God forgive me? I can't even forgive myself. You come tonight through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ. You come to Him tonight. He'll cleanse you. Let Him forgive you tonight. That's right. Maybe you can't forgive yourself, but Christ will forgive you. He'll set you free. He'll take that shame tonight, the stain of the sin. And the Bible says He will remove it. He'll wash you as white as snow. Will you do that tonight? Will you trust Him? The Bible says, behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You may never have another opportunity to come to Christ. You may never have another chance. You may never have another opportunity. Will you do that tonight? Will you come to Christ tonight? What are the sins in your life? We're all guilty. I'm guilty. You see, I was 22 years old when I got on my knees and I asked God to forgive me of my sins. You say, but Franklin, you're Billy Graham's son. You know, come on, you had a shoe in. You know, you it's easy for you. No, it doesn't work that way. You see, no one can choose Christ for you. Your parents can't do it. Your family cannot do it. Your church cannot do it. It's a choice you have to make. And when I was growing up, it's not that I didn't believe in God. I did. It wasn't that I didn't believe in Jesus. I just didn't want Jesus to be controlling my life. I didn't want Him to be the Lord of my life. I, Franklin Graham, wanted to be the Lord of my life. And I thought that if I surrendered my life to Christ, I would be in a straitjacket. I wanted to be fun. I wanted to have parties. I wanted to do all the things that I thought would please me. But I can tell you, that's a trap. It's a trap. It's a big, black, empty hole. And let me tell you something, the parties ain't going to fill that hole. Drugs aren't going to fill that hole. Alcohol's not going to fill that hole. Sex isn't going to fill that hole. There's nothing that will fill that vacuum, that void. Only a personal relationship with Almighty God through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, can fill that vacuum in your life. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Will you believe tonight? Will you trust him? The Bible says, come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden or heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. You want rest tonight? And you say, but Franklin, why do I have to come through Jesus? I don't understand. Because you see, Jesus is the one who went to the cross. He's the one who died in your place. I'll explain it again. Listen to me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth on a rescue mission to save you from your sins. Jesus Christ took your sins. He went to the cross. And what's the penalty of sin? It's death. There's no other way that sin can be satisfied except through the shedding of blood. And Jesus Christ shed his blood so you wouldn't have to shed yours. Jesus Christ went to the cross so you wouldn't have to the cross. Jesus Christ went to the grave so you wouldn't have to go to the grave. Jesus Christ rose from the grave so that you can rise with him and be with him in heaven one day. But it's your choice. And he's saying, come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. And tonight you can have rest for your soul. And it's through Jesus Christ. And that's what I want you to do tonight. I want you to get up right now, wherever you are. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're not sure that your sins are forgiven tonight, and you want to make sure, and you want to leave this arena forgiven and cleansed, knowing that you're on your way to heaven, that it's all sealed and stamped, ready to go, you come right now. Get up out of your seat and make your way to an aisle and stand here. When we've all come, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You may be up there on the top row. It's going to take you a couple of minutes to make your way down the steps, the elevators, or whatever they have here to get to this floor. We're going to wait on you. Now, you say, but Franklin, I've come with a friend. We're on a bus. They're going to wait on you. They're not going to leave you. You say, but Franklin, why do I have to come publicly? Because every person Jesus called, he called publicly. He died publicly for you. They stripped him. They beat him. They spat on him. They cursed him. They nailed him to a tree publicly. He died for you. He took your sins publicly. And I'm asking you to take a public stand for him tonight. You come tonight. And when we've all come, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, giving you an opportunity to invite Christ into your heart, into your life. You come wherever you are. Just get up out of your seat and come. You're not coming to Franklin Graham. I can't save you. You're coming tonight to God's Son, Jesus Christ. You're coming to Jesus tonight. You can have a new hope today, a new beginning, a new beginning. You want that? You come. Just wherever you are, just get up and come. Let's all be in an attitude of prayer. Pray for those beside you, behind you. Pray. You're coming tonight to faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Come, wherever you are, just come. Come quickly.